Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, what's he gonna do? You wanna get down?
A very pleasant good morning, my dear friends. It is Friday, March the 5th, 2021. Joe Zagacki and my broadcast partner, Don Bailey Jr., in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz on a Friday morning. We've reached Friday, so happy Friday, everybody. Surprise, you're listening to the Joe without the Joe, another Joe, and a DBJ. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good, Joe. How about yourself? Don't forget your name's Joe, too, now.
WQAM the Joe. How about that?
That's right. The Joe.
It's a Friday. It's going to be a beautiful, spectacular weekend. We've got a wild show lined up for you for the next 4 hours. We sit in for Joe Rose, who gets the day off and the weekend off. So very well earned by Joe Rose. So we'll just try to guide you through this the very best way we can. We'll talk a lot of University of Miami, obviously. We'll talk a lot about the Dolphins. The Heat win last night, as Stephen just mentioned, 103-93. Jimmy Butler, again, had a terrific game. 29 points, 9 assists for Jimmy Butler. The Heat finished 18-18 in the first half. They will return to play next Thursday. So they've got a week off. They'll return to play March 11th against Orlando. We'll talk with Eric Reed a little bit later on in the show about the Miami Heat. I was just thinking that coming up for the University of Miami is spring football, and this year the awards banquet for football is going to be at the end of March. And one of the awards that we hand out is the Jim Kelly U Tough Award. This is going to be right in your wheelhouse. If there was a Jim Kelly U Tough Award for the Miami Heat, it would be Jimmy Butler. That guy is a tough dude.
He really is, Joe. It's amazing what he does for the team. You look at the influence that he has and how the production changes, how the attitude changes, and I was breezing through the salaries on the Miami Heat just a few minutes ago. He's worth every single penny.
Yeah, no question. He hits a shot last night with about 5 minutes to go that I thought was a real backbreaker. So the Heat win last night. The Panthers defeated Nashville in a wild game, 5-4. A lot of shots on goal last night and a lot of goals. Are you a hockey fan?
I'm sorry, no. Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I just didn't grow up with
it.
We
both grew up here,
yeah.
So we didn't grow up with hockey. I really like hockey. One of my great thrills was when the Panthers made their run to the Stanley Cup in 96, I guess it was. They lost to Montreal, and I was working at Channel 4, WFOR, and my assignment was the postseason was the Panthers. So I had him in every game throughout the entire postseason. Now, hockey postseason playoff goes forever. You know, it starts in April and ends like in June. And so we went to Boston, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Colorado. They made it all the way to Stanley Cup and lost 4-0 to Colorado. But hockey guys are the hit. I think they might be the most unique athletes. They take a beating night in and night out. They are the most accessible, I think, of the athletes. And there's a real bonding in hockey. But the Panthers are off to a great start. Of course, you can hear Panthers games here on QAM. The Hurricanes are going to wrap up the regular season tonight. We have basketball. We will have basketball for you tonight at 5:30. Tip off at 6 o'clock, Miami and Boston College. The Hurricanes have not won a game since February the 1st. Been an injury-ravaged season. So they've lost seven games in a row. The ACC tournament starts next week. The Canes will play Tuesday. The schedule will be out for the tournament on Sunday. It's been a real shame. I thought they were going to have a great season. Thought they had a really an experienced team. Thought they were going to have a great season. But injuries sidetracked the Hurricanes this year. What are you doing this weekend, Don? It's Friday. You got big weekend plans? I know that your better half is not here, so.
Yeah, but she's coming back tonight. So I get to pick her up at the airport from her little excursion, and it'll work out good. No, I'm in Miami this weekend, Joe. Next weekend, I head back up towards Vero Beach to take a little break for at least a Friday night and a Saturday.
Vero, there's no better place. Might not be. Well, we might get a little argument from some people down here. We are have a game tonight, and the lovely Mrs. Cheryl and I are celebrating our 30th wedding anniversary on Tuesday.
Wow.
30 years. It all started on the radio, by the way.
Ah.
It was like a reality show before the reality shows. It all started on the radio.
Well, you'll have to take us through that, how that did start on the radio, Joe.
You know, it was very funny, to be quite honest with you. I was filling in one day for Rick Weaver. I was filling in on the afternoon sports. In those days, we did not have all sports. I was filling in doing the afternoon, anchoring the afternoon sports. It was a news show. The host of the show was a guy by the name of Mike Miller, the Mike Miller Show. And he was supposed to toss it to me for the 4:05 sports report. Instead, he threw it to the traffic report. And it was Cheryl V over Miami, over Dade County, over Broward County. And when she was done with her report, the smart person she is, very astute, she knew the format was wrecked, I guess, by Mike Miller, and said, now, with sports, here is Joe Zagaki. And I, of course, turned the microphone on, looked at Mike Miller in the other room and said, see, I knew she liked me.
Love at first opening, right, Joe? It was, she found a way right to your heart immediately by setting you up perfectly, overcoming a mistake.
Now, this went on for like 2 months, and it was kind of a radio bit. We had never met each other. It was just kind of radio. You know, radio is theater of the mind. So we just kind of did our thing and went our separate ways. And then one day, we actually ran into each other.
Oh, okay. was that an accident or was that on purpose?
Well, I'm not quite sure. It might have been an accident or it might have been on purpose. But we met. And there you go. That's what happened. So we are going to go over and renew our vows in a year where in sickness and health has become very important. We're going to have a little tiny ceremony. Now, we had a wedding. That was right. The wedding of weddings. So we had, I think we had like 250 people at our wedding. I think it's still going on 30 years later.
At least
later.
The reception is, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to renew our vows.
Good for you.
And I don't know, people might think that's kind of maudlin or whatever, but 30 years is a pretty good milestone.
I should probably renew my vows every week. I mean, really, I should just make sure. Hey, you're still in this game with your wild, crazy husband here.
So that was our love affair on the radio. It was before reality, before there was ever a bachelor and a bachelorette. We took center stage somehow.
Let me ask you though, Joe, real quick. Did you use the radio to ask her to marry you? Did you do it on air?
No, I did not.
Oh.
We got engaged on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
About 5 years afterward. I did go to the Four Corners offense. You know, I did slow the game down a little bit.
Okay.
Or maybe we both did. No, but no, I did not use the radio to ask her to marry me. That would have been, I guess, the ultimate. I guess I probably should have.
Well, it's never too late. You're renewing your vows. You can go through it again. You could do that at halftime of the basketball game.
I can just bring her in here. She's in the other room.
Yeah, wake her up, would you? Hey, Cheryl, we got a question for you.
Yeah. But she'll look at me and hit me with a pillow now and just walk and go back to bed.
Well, you know, Joe, like in law and radio, you need to know the answer to the question before you ask it. So you better be sure of that one.
I think I got a pretty good conviction.
Yeah, I think you do.
So that'll be our weekend. I think we you know, you like going north. I spend time on Hollywood Beach. I like that Broadwalk.
Ooh.
There are a few old restaurants there that I like to frequent. So you might see me there this weekend. It's going to be a nice weekend.
I still think that's a hidden gem. I think Hollywood Beach is really one of the hidden gems of South Florida, without a question.
If you went through, if we did some kind of a poll here this morning, if people our age, they would tell you that they spent a lot of their youth, I guess we would call it the Bible College, right there on Hollywood Boulevard. Now it's like whatever that building is.
That. Yes.
Yeah, whatever that building is now, it's like out of The Shining.
Keeps just changing, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, the big Hollywood whatever it is. But Lauderdale by the Sea is a nice beach town. Have you been there?
Not in a long time.
Lauderdale by the Sea is a very nice beach town. They have some nice restaurants right smack on the sand. Aruba Beach Cafe, very nice.
Yeah, I was a big Hollywood Beach guy. In the early days, I like going down to South Beach when you could walk
nobody
down the
went
Ocean
to,
Drive.
Yeah,
know?
Nobody went to South
nobody.
Beach because it was, you know, older. So everybody went to from like, well, maybe, you know, Hollandale to Hollywood Beach, but primarily Hollywood Beach behind the, we called it the Bible College.
But you know what, Joe? I was a Hallover Beach guy.
Oh, yeah. That's where I grew up.
Where
yeah,
the
I grew
pier
up in
right
Miami.
There, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, you would.
A lot of people
would
jump off that jump off that bridge.
And go hang out on the jetties a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's still, I still do a lot of jogging on the other side, on the Surfside side, the south of the inlet. And that stretch right there on both sides is as beautiful as you can get.
Now, that doesn't look anything right now, Hallover, that whole area does not look anything like it did 30 years ago.
Everything right? was I mean, 3 stories. Now it's 300 stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it was just it was crazy how minimized the residential living was on the beach at that time.
Sunny Isles is, well, who lives there now? Like, I mean, those condos are unbelievable.
I know it. It's just amazing what they put up.
You're in that, you know, you're in the business of handling,
helping those condos,
flooring, helping those condos out.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of it. I'll tell you that much. It is the construction boom over there. It's still going on. And then Joe, head south. You remember downtown Miami? How about Brickell?
You know, I drove in downtown Miami the other night. Cheryl and I went to a restaurant in Wynwood about 2 weeks ago, and we drove through downtown Miami. And I looked at it and I said, where are we again?
Yeah.
It looks like
it's New York.
I mean, what a skyline Miami has now.
That's right. The only thing you used to see is what? The jailhouse with the buzzards on the roof. Remember?
Yeah.
That was
your head's on a swivel looking at that. As you come into downtown Miami, man alive, what a job they have done. It's beautiful. No wonder everybody's moving here. You know, when I was the program director of this station, the bosses sent me to Philadelphia for a week to spend time with this guy named Tom Bigby. He was the program director of WIP. At the time, they were the hot all sports radio station. So I spent a week with Bigby, who just passed away not too long ago. And they put together a great station. And Bigby had very, very strong thoughts on what a show should sound like. And one of the things he prohibited were guests. He only wanted to hear from the callers at the time. Now you hear from callers through the text machine and all that, social media. He only wanted to hear from callers, not guests. And he said the reason why was because too many hosts would have their friends on as guests. So I really love Tom Bigby, but I'm going to break his rule today. I'm sorry, Tom. We're having our friends on.
Well, you know, as long as you've been doing this in Miami, you can't help but have them all your friends, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, it's a relationship business like everything else.
So we're going to have Nat Moore on from the Dolphins. He's everybody's friend. And Nat is going to tell us about Ja'Marr Chase, who the Dolphins should take. Well, maybe not who they should take, but I don't want to put him in that spot. But what goes into being a first-round draft choice? Because Nat was a first-round draft choice as a wide receiver. Now, they brought in Devontae Parker a couple years ago, who you and I saw at Louisville.
Yep.
But now it's Chase or Devontae Smith, and you and I are going to break that down a little bit because we saw Chase at LSU, and we saw Smith this year against Ohio State in the championship game. So we're going to talk about that. So Nat Moore will be on the show, and we'll talk about the wide receivers and what to expect from the first round pick, and maybe a little bit about size. Nat wasn't the biggest guy, but he certainly had a great career. There are those that are concerned about the size of Devontae Smith. I think he's an electric player. We'll talk with Nat. The Heat are at the halfway point. The All-Star break and the All-Star game is Sunday. Eric Reed is going to join us, another friend of the show. So Eric will be with us, and we'll talk about the Miami Heat. We're going to go right into your wheelhouse, the University of Miami, and we're going to talk with Coach Justice, offensive line coach Gavin Justice will join us as spring football is going to start about a week and a half from now, maybe less than that. So about a week away from spring football. We'll talk about the offensive line. We have a lot of choices there on the offensive line. And in our next segment, we're going to hear from Rob Likens, wide receivers coach. We talked to him the other night, and apparently he made lots of headlines because I've been reading his quotes everywhere, so I think it's worthy of replaying what he had to say about the University of Miami wide receivers. So that sets the table. The offensive line, you got a lot of guys for the University of Miami to choose from this year, but more importantly, you know, you have all five guys that started last year return.
That's a nice thing to have. And
I can't remember the last time that happened.
I don't know that it has. I mean, seriously. I mean, I don't know that it has. And then you've got the battleship, Navon Donaldson. He's in that mix too. Yeah. I mean, he's just a monster. And I think really, to me, he's the key to the whole thing. If you can get him back, get him healthy, get him at the right playing weight, his right playing weight. I don't think you can put something historically on paper when you're dealing with him. But I think he's the guy that can really tip it because he can play center. He's played both guards. He's played both tackles. There's not anything he can't do, and I think he'll add a lot of girth and he'll add a lot of experience.
Zion Nelson and Ja'Kai Clark come back on the left side.
Yep.
Corey Gaynor will be the center. And then, of course, Jared Williams coming back. He's like McLeod. He's coming back for a sixth or seventh year of college football. So that's good. And then you got all these young guys. Walker, who we didn't see last year.
Talented young man, Joe. Yep.
Yeah. Rivers, the kid from Jacksonville. And then you got Baby Navon coming in. Big Baby Seymour coming in. So I'm not sure if I missed anybody. Then you got two other guys.
Scaife, right? You got
Scaife is back, right? Yeah, Scaife is back.
And then Clark.
So what do they look for when they break that down? You have five guys coming back, and you have about eight guys that are going to challenge.
The most important word in college football, really in athletics, competition. If you got competition, you've got everything you need. I mean, you think about it. If it's in the NFL, you bring in competition, team gets better, you have less management issues, you have a better understanding between coach and player. Same thing in college, same thing in high school, same thing in Pee Wee League. I think that's that competition controls it all, and I think Miami's got depth. They've got experience. They're going to be in year two with Coach Justice, who I think did an outstanding job last year. You look at how Zion Nelson improved and what has come to his career from that very difficult start against University of Florida a couple years ago. This young man's working himself into being a draft pick, and he's picked up on the technique. So it's going to be an important spring for the entire University of Miami football team. But I think it'll be interesting, the battles that take place, because so many of these young men are coming back.
We also, during the course of the show, we're going to have a way too early look at Alabama. which might be frightening.
I don't want nightmares, Joe. What are you giving? You're going to give me nightmares? I had the early look in the national championship game, and that was very, very, very interesting. And what they're going to be? I think they should be probably preseason number one again.
Oh, not even close. And now I'm probably going to say this from now until September, and you know that we're going to go into that game with every fiber of our body thinking Miami's going to win that game because that's the way we are.
Yep.
Now, I am going to, at 6:20 on March the 5th, 6:20 a.m., start spouting out, please, please do not go down, fans, the road of, oh, Alabama lost a lot of guys and Miami's got a lot of guys coming back. Half of that is true. Miami does have a lot of guys coming back, but so does Alabama. And yes, they're going to lose the Heisman Trophy winner and Waddle. It doesn't matter.
And the running back.
And the running back who could end up with the Dolphins.
And the quarterback. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. The way their roster is put together is very, very interesting. So we'll dive into that a little bit later on in the show. I don't know, maybe after breakfast. I haven't quite decided yet. But we'll dive into the Alabama depth chart and the way too early look at Alabama and what they are doing right now. Are you a boxing fan? Were you a boxing fan as a kid?
You know, I was as a kid because everybody's dad was, right? I'm sure right, your father yeah. was. My dad
yep,
was
right.
and still is. And we had a relationship with Ferdy Pacheco forever and ever and ever. So that had our attention to it. But back then, yes. Now I have not followed it probably as much as I would like to. Well, really, it was the big game then. I mean, it was the big deal. You talk to my dad or parents, you know, guys in their late 70s or between their 70s and 80s, they'd sit around the radio and listen to it.
That's
right?
correct. Right, yeah. So the reason I bring it up is because I'm looking at the online version of the Miami Herald today. But by the way, I still get the – if you're listening, Miami Herald, I still get – the Herald delivered to my house. I'm probably one of the, it might be your only customer left that has the guy come by at 5 o'clock in the morning and he's got a lousy arm. He can't make it. He throws it halfway up the driveway, not even close. At any rate, I still get the real newspaper, but I'm looking at the online edition. And March 8th, which is Monday, is the 50th anniversary of the Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier first fight at Madison Square Garden. So anybody our age would have been, you know, kids when that happened. And I remember the huge buildup to that fight. I was an Ali fan. He was coming out of his exile of boxing because he was suspended for a year. And so he went into that fight. And I remember, like you just said, my dad listened to it on the radio. I had, of course, the go to sleep as a school night, and I remember him waking me up either in the middle of the night when it was over or in the morning and saying Ali lost. And I was a big Ali fan as a kid. I was heartbroken that he lost. But my point is this: if you do have the online version of the Herald, they have this thing called Sports Extra, and in Sports Extra they have a huge article, and they have one of the original articles, the game, the fight story from the Associated Press from 50 years ago. It's very interesting to read. And they have some wonderful pictures of that night, of the fight at Madison Square Garden. It's really cool to look at. So if you're a fight fan, an old fight fan, it's worth taking a look at the fight story from that night. And you know, you can go down memory lane a little bit because they have the fight story from the Associated Press. And I was going to read one line, but let's see.
But, Joe, how about Howard Cosell calling the fights, right? I mean,
right.
Now, it wasn't radio. He was doing TV, I believe, right? But just you go through the voices of that, and I enjoyed it. I really did. I think the whole world enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Here's the one line. Frazier, who took control of the fight in the 10th round, sent Ali crashing to the canvas with a thunderous left hook in the 15th round that ballooned Ali's right cheek to a grotesque shape. It did. It's the only time he was knocked down. Frazier knocked him down in the 15th, only time Ali went down. And they had three fights. Of course, years later, they reduced those championship fights from 15 rounds to 12 rounds. But at any rate, if you're a fight fan, 50 years, and it was a Monday night fight, so March 8th is the 50th anniversary. So we are off and running on the show. It's a weekend. It's a Friday. Joe and Don in for Joe and Zach. Rob Likens, wide receivers coach from the University of Miami, joins us next, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Dolphins and the draft and a way too early look at Alabama, plus what happened in the ACC in football during the offseason as we continue. Joe Z and DBJ in for Joe Rose. Joining us all on the show right now, University of Miami wide receivers coach Rob Likens. And coach, great to have you as we close in on spring football. And what's it been like for you since the end of the regular season getting ready for the spring football?
Oh, man. It's just been just a time of excitement for me and for everybody in the program. Whenever you have so many people on the team decide that they want to come back, which means they decide that they enjoyed this whole situation. They enjoyed getting coached by you. They enjoyed being around their teammates. They enjoyed this football program, the leadership of Coach Diaz. That's exciting because people can choose to opt out if they want. And we had so many guys choose to come back, and I think that just brought a bunch of excitement around the program.
I have been a champion for years of the holdovers, and I think one of the biggest problems the University of Miami has had in advancing their program has been the lack of senior leadership, the lack of physicality that you get, all the benefits you get from older players, and now I think you're going to see that this year. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why there's a lot of optimism.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it really started out with the leaders of our team. You know, when Derek said that he was coming back, guys like Bubba Bolden, Jared Williams, Mike Harley, and I know I'm leaving some people out, but yes, that's where it all started. And collectively, I think these guys got together, talked about that very same thing, Joe. Like in the past, a lot of guys have left early, but let's see what it's going to look like when they all stay.
Yeah, I try to tell these guys, you know, the great players before you, you're putting in 4 years. The great players before you even put in 5 years because most of those guys were redshirted. So what made the University of Miami special is when one team left, there was always another team waiting. Those guys were just practicing and waiting their turn, and perhaps that will be the benefit of some of the younger players on the roster.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, I think what you're going to see in the landscape of college football with the portal and the transfer rule and all of that stuff is, you know, you're going to see teams that maybe people have never heard of, or not heard of, but have never been in the conversations of winning championships. I think they're going to have a shot. You know, everybody's going to have a chance. Because of all of the movement and all of the things that are going on and the inconsistencies that will be going on teams.
Mike Harley is one of those guys coming back into your room. Why did Harley make a jump last year, and what are your expectations for him this year?
You know, my expectations is for him to have a big year, a really big year. I think, you know, there's two things. One, unfinished business. You know, there's two things that college football players want. They want to win, and then they want to be developed to play at the next level. And, you know, I think that college football coaches need to embrace both of those things. And so, you know, I think that in his mind that Miami, the bad taste in our mouth, you know, losing that bowl game, and there was some unfinished business on the table that we want to do. And then also I'm sure, you know, that Mike felt like another year and maybe having a good year, obviously, you know, is going to help his future to be looked at in the NFL.
You know, this is my own personal opinion when it comes to catching a ball, whether it's a baseball or a football. It is good hands with good mind. And I think those that are great receivers of a ball are gifted with hands, number one. But number two, you have to have confidence. And I look at, you have two receivers that can be really, really good, Pope and Wiggins. What will get them over the top? Is it better hands or better mind?
Yes, you know, no, both of them they have good hands. They got good enough hands for sure to be playing Division One Power Five college football and at the University of Miami. What it is like these guys they're inexperienced, even though they played in some games. It's just like anything else that you attempt, you know, in this world. The more you do it, all right, the more you have confidence. And with that confidence, just like you stated, that should be a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. And then what happens, though, when maybe something negative happens, you cannot allow the snowball effect to go in the other direction. And I believe you have to have a plan for that. You need to have the understanding that all human beings are not perfect. You are going to make a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. It's how you handle those mistakes and how the ability to forget, the ability to learn from the mistake, I think has a lot to do with it. And then also the confidence piece that I just talked about.
Rob Likens, University of Miami wide receivers coach, is our guest. You have a bunch of young receivers, guys that were on the roster, guys that were recruited. How do you separate them all going into, well, I guess it'll be going into fall camp, but you're going to have a bunch of guys to work with.
Yes, I'm excited. You know, in fall camp, we'll have the addition of the three freshmen that we signed. And we can't forget that none of these guys went through a full spring last year, right?
Right.
Oh, when we showed up for fall practice last year, these guys were still in the mode of, you know, they had a chance to, like, learn the offense on a piece of paper, but not actually running the plays full speed with the coaches out on the field and under pressure and adversity. Now that we've got a year under our belt, I have I just think that it's going to be a whole different feel. We'll have a whole nother level of confidence. And so will all the young guys because, you know, our four freshmen that we signed last year came in early last year. So their biggest deal that they got a chance to do is to go through our weight room for a year. And as you know, Joe, man, there's not very many freshmen coming out of high school that are physically prepared to take on a full season of Power Five collegiate football. And so now these guys had a year under their belt. So I have high expectations for all of the freshmen. And no, we're not going to take our foot off the gas on coaching those guys with high expectations and passionate about that. And I think they understand those. And I think they want that, and I think they're excited about it.
I also think it's important to note that if you're going to run this offense that you guys have, one that consists of, on a great day of, I don't know, 85, 90 plays, you need a lot of wide receivers.
So absolutely. You need to be playing, you know, you're going to play, if we're in 11 personnel per se, and we're just talking about the receiver position, and 11 personnel is when you have three receivers out on the field most of the time. You got to play six. Last year, I was not comfortable playing six guys. I just didn't feel like a guy we put out onto the field was, you know, I just didn't feel comfortable. I do now. I feel like we're going to be able to find six guys that can go out there and win for the University of Miami.
As you go into spring, you're not going to have your quarterback, De'Ara King. So I guess two-edged sword here, right? You don't have the quarterback to work with the young receivers. However, you have young quarterbacks that are going to get a lot of reps in this offense.
Oh, yes. And that's huge because, you know, De'Ara's going to be gone after this year. And, you know, somebody else is going to be playing quarterback for us. And so when those guys, this process, we're a year ahead of that process, if you think about it. So what would have happened next spring is going to happen this spring for those young quarterbacks. And so that's a huge positive for them. Now, what we're going to have to do is play catch up in the summer, when these guys are out coaching themselves. And, you know, as the coaches are not allowed to be there, the player-led practices, captain-led practices, that they're really going to have to hit it and get it this summer.
We mentioned this the last time you were on the show, but each of the guys, your coaching staff in that offensive room, for the most part, you guys have all been offensive coordinators. How important is that, and what are those brainstorming sessions like? And again, how much of an impact or how important is that today? Because defenses are going to throw everything they can at you in order to slow down spread offenses. So you got a lot of creativity going on in the offensive room. Also the opportunity, I would imagine, sharing ideas and also trying to sort out a defense in order to get to the answers.
Yes. You know, and to answer your first part of the question, you know, that's why I just want to say how much I appreciate and how of a non-ego that Rhett Lashley has. If you think about it, to sit in a room with two other guys that have been offensive coordinator, there's a lot of guys out there in the country that don't like that. They don't want that because they're insecure. And Coach Lashley is not like that at all. And so, like, my hat is off to him. I think it's a huge positive, because I know what an offensive coordinator goes through. I know the pressures of game week. I know the pressures of game day. So I'm able to, without any ego at all, my job is to serve him in any capacity so that he can do the best possible job that he can do on a Saturday calling plays. And Garen, our offensive line coach, Garen Justice, has the same mindset, so that we're better able to serve him more than a coach that has never been a coordinator. You just understand everything that you got to go through. So that's why I think it's like, I think it's so important. Two, you know, like you said, yes. Three people that have gone through having successes, but then also having failures where you learn from your failure. Hey, man, I got my butt kicked versus this defense before. I've seen this. This isn't going to work. Or, hey, man, I've seen what does work against that defense. And to have all those ideas flying around the room, I think is a big positive.
College football is an offensive-minded game right now. As you guys go into the second year of this offense, do you add to it? Do you fine-tune it? And what are realistic expectations?
Yeah, man, that's a great question, Joe, because that's the final – that's the fine line, the million-dollar question. Where is that point where you're doing too much? And where is that point, though, that you have to – like, you've got to stay ahead of the game and be creative? But we always got to understand, and this is, you know, kind of goes on top of your last question about, you know, there's been three coordinators in there who may have screwed this up at one point in time of putting too much in, because we only have a certain amount of time with these kids. And so we always got to understand, it's not what I know, it's what can I get this kid to know in 2 hours? Because that's all we got a day with him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that's where a lot of coaches make mistakes. Yeah, you could run an NFL offense. That's great. But run an NFL offense and you only got 2 hours to pour all of that into a kid who also has to go to school. He's got all kinds of other things going on in his life. So, you know, that's going to be the point. We're going to push the envelope. We're going to push and try to find where that line is. And we're going to err a little bit more on trying to put some in, and then we'll draw it back to when we find out where that line is. And, you know, that's where, like I said, you know, all of us three guys being together and experience is going to pay off.
Along those lines, before I let you go, a lot of the concepts that you guys run is what they're running in high school football in South Florida. How important is that? Because there's a connection there, and then maybe almost like a feeder system. But kids here are running a lot of the stuff that you're running at the University of Miami. How important is that?
That is huge. You just set me up, man, with an easy shot to hit over center field fence right here. Back a long time ago when I first met Hal Mumme, who was pretty much the godfather of the air raid, that was the sole purpose of that. Because he said, Rob, let me tell you something. How many times does a kid pick a football up growing up, and then he throws it to another kid, and that kid catches it. And I go, well, about a million. He goes, well, how many times does a kid run an ISO and go and cut another kid, and you just sit there and smash heads together? The only time you do that is when you play football. Yeah. He goes, yes. So if you're doing what these kids are doing their whole life, where they're catching the ball and they're throwing it and they're running routes and all that stuff, you know, don't you think you might be able to be a little bit more successful doing things that they're already doing? And so to answer your question, we got these kids running these offenses. So when they come to us, they already know what Y cross means. They already know what stick right means and all of that stuff. And now all we got to do really is just kind of teach them how to do the detail of their assignment at an extremely high level under pressure.
Well, this has been a lot of fun talking with you, Coach. Spring football knocking on the door. University of Miami wide receivers coach Rob Likens has been our guest. Coach, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Always a fun time.
Back on the show, Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. in for Joe Rose. Thanks to University of Miami wide receivers coach Rob Likens. And, of course, all of our guests today are on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. In the next hour, we'll talk about the Hurricanes offensive line with offensive line coach Garen Justice. A little bit later on, Don, I said we're having my friends on. Gene Deckerhoff, the voice of the Seminoles, is going to be on the show, also the voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks. And he's got a chance for like a rare, I don't know, double dip, I don't know, in broadcasting. He had the Super Bowl, and the Seminoles are pretty good in basketball. They got a chance to go to the Final Four, so that would be quite an experience for him. So we'll talk with Gene Deckerhoff a little bit later on in the show. Tampa Bay, of course, wins the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. And so where's the NFL? They're still chasing Tom Brady.
Yeah, they are. No matter how old he is, no matter what team he's on, no matter what.
It's unbelievable.
You know what? How about Deckerhoff picking up a Super Bowl ring, right? I'm sure they're going to include him in that. That's
oh,
nice.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah. Right. His second Super Bowl ring. Yeah.
And he's got a couple national championship. He's got a handful, I guess, pretty close to it. But it's amazing how everybody's chasing Tom Brady, Joe.
I was looking at the mock drafts that are coming out, and to go through an entire mock draft would be too long for us, or it would also put everybody to sleep. But what we are going to do is I'm going to pick out 10 to 15 players in the draft that probably will go in the first round, maybe the second round as well, that you and I have seen, because we see all these guys before they're drafted. Well, we saw Trevor Lawrence up close and personal. We studied him before he played the University of Miami, and we watched him in the University of Miami game. So I think we got a pretty good feel for a lot of these guys, including Devontae Smith, who at Alabama. Here's my position as we approach 7 o'clock. I think if I was a general manager, and maybe this would apply to recruiting as well, maybe a little bit lesser because I'm not sure you'd be able to do all the research on it. But if I was a general manager drafting a player or signing a free agent, and I suppose if I was a coach, if I could get this information, you know what? One of the number one, maybe my number one thing now would be, you ready? Durability. How many games are you going to give me?
Well, I think when you look at the draft and you had guys opt out last year, whether it was Chase or whether it was Rousseau, no matter who it was, and that gives you a bit of a cloud over your exam from the NFL because of what you just said. You've got guys that are maybe played 8 games, 10 games, 12 games, 13 games, whatever it is. But now you got to make the jump from a college season to an NFL season. And you really play 2 seasons in your first NFL season if you're comparing it to college. Training camp is longer. You've got the exhibition games. You get into the postseason. The thing drags on forever. Now, I think if you're being an evaluator and you got a guy that played every game last year versus a guy that opted out for the last year and is going back to his second or third year, however, or even his fourth year. I think it hampers on how you look at it. And I think, obviously, there's two schools of philosophy with that. And the number one thing is going to be to check that prospect out as soon as you can to see how he's developed physically in that year off if he didn't play. Because he didn't get any better on the football field by not playing.
There's only one way you win in sports. I don't care. People can tell me all the hocus pocus they want. There's only one way you win in sports. You win with talent. That's it. And you can't win if your talent is not on the floor or on the field. You only win with talent. The Miami Heat have won 7 of their last 8 games because Jimmy Butler played in the 7 wins. With Jimmy Butler on the floor, they are 14-8. Without Jimmy Butler, they are 4-10. They're 18-18 overall. With Jimmy Butler on the floor, they are a far better team. Devontae Smith for Alabama played 47 games. The last 3 years, he's played 13 games, 13 games, 13 games. Did not miss a game. Ja'Marr Chase at LSU, who we saw, and he's got huge hands. So that's going to come up, I think, in the draft. The guy, he's got this, you know, he's a big kid, 200 pounds, big hands. He's played in 24 games. The most that he played was 2 years ago with Joe Burrow. Smith, 13, 13, and 13, and they played 8 his first year. 117 catches and 23 touchdowns, but he plays.
He plays big time. Now, I will tell you about Chase, though. The thing, I'm not a guy that would buy into the opt-out. I would be more focused on a guy that played. I would want to see a guy that went through the struggles of a COVID year, that stuck with his team, that did. And I understand there's two sides of the story. My personal opinion is I'm going to look harder at a guy that fought through all this adversity versus one that stepped out of it. Okay, so but you go to Chase, and everybody with Devontae Smith was his numbers. What did he do last year? Well, he had a phenomenal season last year. I mean, he's got, in his career, he's like 3,000 yards and 37 touchdowns in 2 years. But you go to Ja'Marr Chase, Joe, in 19, when we saw him, he 84 catches, 1,780 yards, and 20 touchdowns.
Now, he I mean, this is a tough choice.
It is.
There's
a
no
tough
question
choice.
About, you know, if you take the Heisman Trophy winner, you're probably not going to get second guessed.
Yeah. That, I mean, there you go. Okay, well, the whole world thought he was the best college football player.
Right.
If I get a chance to take the best college football player, how do I do that? Now you got guys that are stuck on things when they're going into drafts, such as, is it prototypical size? You're dealing with a 6 foot, 200 plus, or a 6'1", is it 160? Is it 170? It's not 180. Right?
And right.
But who's he compared to? I mean, is he a Snoop Menace? Is he a Richardson who was a second round pick? I mean, there's guys that are lean that are very, very productive, or do you want the guy that can just overpower the corner? I think that's the thing that you gotta look at, and we can get into this one now more. How do you deal with the corner size of today? Can a guy get pushed around? And if you're the Dolphins and you don't have either of those two guys as the best player and available, then it's not such a bad deal picking up Jalen Waddle, Joe, down the road now, or Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. This is a big, strong guy. Now, he's the oddball, really, as far as how he runs and what he does. It's 6'2", 210. So there's philosophy that comes into this. Production, to me, is almost identical. You know, you're going to say, well, Devontae Smith, he played half a game and had over 200 yards in the national championship game. Yeah, he did, but I saw Ja'Marr Chase do that too. You know, so productions there, both of them were All-Americans. One, of course, was the Heisman. Both of them won national titles. Both of them have elite hands. Both of them give a trouble to the secondary. They have the speed. That's why the evaluators get all the big bucks. But if you want size, you're going Chase. If size doesn't worry you and you want production, you go to the Heisman and you go to Devontae Smith. And I don't think you go wrong, really. If it's a tie to me, it's kind of hard not to take a guy off the team of Alabama, having to deal with Coach Saban and those practices and that discipline and that success and that on-field competition every single day.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Really good point. Okay, well, that's the end of hour number one. We're in for Joe Rose. Coming up in hour number two, we'll continue this discussion. Speaking of draft philosophy, I'm going to float a draft philosophy to you when we come back to see if you're buying this philosophy on how to build a team. Also, Garen Justice joins us, University of Miami offensive line coach. Chaser Smith, that debate will continue throughout the next hour. Also, Nat Moore, Senior Vice President, Special Projects, Alumni Relations, and Advisor to the CEO of the Miami Dolphins, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour as we continue on a Friday in for Joe Rose, Friday, March the 5th. So don't go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.